Conversation with Uisce Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Hello there, and you're very welcome to the programme. We shall Fogarty with you until 7 o'clock. And you will, I have no doubt, want to contact the programme this evening with a comment or a message from my guest, and in doing so, you could win a beautiful copy of her new book, specially for you, specially autographed for you. 0667123666, or you can text us now on 083-300-3300. Well, last week, a massive response to my guest, who was Ty Kennelly, as we spoke about his new book and the controversy it had aroused. Tiger's expected is heading back to Australia, and we wish him the best. Next week, something completely different again, as I'll be in conversation with Leo Finnegan from My Van, who has been making films for the last 30 years. The premiere of his new film, Ty Geen's Farewell, is on in the Tintown Centre Ballybunion on Friday the 20th, and Leo will talk to me about his crowded life and times. That's next Wednesday in conversation. But to this evening's guest, and it's very rare indeed on this programme that a guest makes a second appearance. However, I'm delighted to welcome back a lady who is known for her superb writings, the length and breadth of the country and well beyond our shores. She is the author of many beautiful award-winning publications, and her newest, The Journey, consists of a collection of poetry, her first for more than 10 years. Beautiful, evocative, warm, compassionate, mixed with humour and insight. Alice Taylor, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks, Uisce.
You weren't the engine not making it.
I was. We got stuck behind every lorry from here to Macroom.
But you know, Alice, hard weather for driving.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Black and dangerous, and isn't it?
But anyway, I just barely made it.
You made it anyway. Listen to me. It was great to have you back
thank
again.
Thank you.
It was lovely to have you. Congratulations. By the way, I was just talking about we had Ty Kennelly there last week. I presume you've been following the footballers' autobiographies.
We won't even talk about it.
Yeah, you've been following them carefully.
Yeah.
You follow the sport, do you?
Oh, God, I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we found it very hard to forgive you, Uisce, but we've kind of forgiven you by now.
Well, you're a hurling lady anyway, too, because we'd be coming to you with some lovely stuff in your book. Alice Taylor, The Journey, New and Selected Poems. Alice, it's absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you liked it now, Uisce.
They're
just ordinary poems, like, really.
Yeah.
They're not, you know, you don't have to have, you don't have to get a... You know, the other thing, there's the Split the Wood with Lango, the sledge, and...
I do.
Well, you don't have to get that to split them open.
Yeah.
They're poems about ordinary living, really.
Yeah.
Yeah, that most people would identify with.
Do you know what I found reading them? I've been... of course, there's a book you can pick up and delve into.
Yes, yeah.
Read what you want to and pass on to one of those beautiful books. You can do that.
And I often find, you know, we issue with poetry. Do you know, sometimes if your concentration isn't good, or if you're tired, or if you're upset, you can read poetry when you really can't read prose.
You can, there's something,
if you click into a poem that identifies where you are, you can go back to it again and again.
Yeah. Would you prefer writing poetry, Alice, than writing your books?
Yeah, I think, you see, poetry comes from the emotions, really.
Yeah.
Whereas with a book, you sit yourself down and you write it. But with a book of poems, you don't write them because... In a sense, like, because they have accumulated over the years. You know, when you come to the point of putting the book together, there's about 10 years working into it, so many years anyway.
By the way, when you were with me last year, your book, The Parish, we were discussing it.
Yes.
It got Book of the Year. Congratulations again.
It did. Absolutely tickled pink.
Yeah, that went very well all over.
It did, and people identified with it.
Yes, yeah.
You know, it was where a lot of people were, you know, fundraising, parish living... bereavement, all the ups and downs that everybody goes through.
Well, I think I had said it to you last time that my wife and myself were down along West Cork that time, and we called to see, and we kind of walked the route of the book. So when I was speaking to you last year here, I had read the book, but I had also walked the route.
Yes, yeah.
Do you find people are doing that?
Yeah, they are. They're coming to Inishannon, and they're walking to the different places. And, you know, I could understand that because, not comparing me with them, but I remember I went to the Bronte country there a couple of years ago. And I always loved the Brontes.
Yeah.
And it was great. It, you know, it was great to sort of walk around to where the books had come from.
Yes, yeah.
You know, because when you write a book, yeah. I suppose it's that would be any author's dream, that the reader would kind of step into their shoes. I always remember John McGaherty saying that a book is meaningless until the reader engages with the writer, comes alive.
Until the reader engages with the writer. Yeah. They put themselves into the writer's place.
They do. It's a bit like a play. A play is, you know, it's dead until it gets on the stage and it's enacted. Yeah. You know.
By the way, before I forget it, got a phone call today from one of the world's greatest box players, Liam O'Connor.
Oh, yes,
the wonderful Liam O'Connor.
He cracked the road for me at
That's exactly why he rang me. He heard you were coming in. He was on the Late Late a couple of weeks ago. Right. You're well used to that. Yeah. And he said, be sure to tell Alice that I was asking for her because we come from the same area,
We do. We're born on the same hill.
Yeah, on the same hill.
That's right, yeah.
Christ, that must be a big hill.
Yeah. I remember years ago, my first book signing, it was in Greens in Dublin, and this man came in and he said to me, do you know, he said, we were born on the same hill.
Yeah.
And I stopped for a minute and I thought, now, but that time my mother was alive, and if I was going to, say, Nina or Waterford, she would say, do you know now, so-and-so, do you know who you'll meet on there, so-and-so, because they're living down there. And when this man came to me in Dublin, I stopped at that. I know who you are. Because, you know, funny, when you look at somebody, you see the family resemblances.
Yeah.
Even though he would have been gone from the hill before I grew up. But, you know, the way in a small, well, you know, Rish, in a small rural community, everybody knows where everybody's gone to.
Yes, yeah. Do you find when you're signing your books, Alice, that you meet, what does a book signing mean to you?
Well, it means, you know,
It's
an enriching experience. You meet people who have read. Some of them would have already read part of the book. And I remember doing a book signing, and it was the woman of the house. And while in the queue, one woman had read the first chapter. And when she came to me, she said, that's me there in that first chapter.
She could associate with it.
Yeah. And I think that's the lovely thing, is when the book goes out there, it ceases to be your book, and the reader, it becomes the reader's book. Yeah. And that's great.
You're conscious, of course, when you're writing, that, as you said, you're engaging with the reader. You're very conscious of it.
You're not really, Richard. When you're writing, it's a very selfish process. Yeah. Really, you're totally obsessed with the book and yourself. But when it's done and dusted, then it's like cast your bread upon the waters. You let it go then. Yeah. It's no longer yours. But you're very possessive about it at the beginning. You know, if you get a snide comment or something about it.
Not nice. I had the privilege of launching a book last Saturday night myself. A book on the history of Kerry football by a great friend of mine, Jimmy Darcy. It was called Forged in Green and Gold.
What a beautiful name.
And you know, Alice, the thing about the name Forged, his father, his grandfather, his great-grandfather, and his great-grandfather were
blacksmiths.
Beautiful, wasn't it?
Wasn't it lovely?
Forged in Green and Gold, folks, by Jimmy Darcy, Kerryman. Connie Kelly in Boston was on. Hello to Alice. Please thank her for putting those wonderful memories of growing up in Ireland in the 40s and 50s on paper. School to the fields, many more years of success in all that she does. We have a great fan, Connie Kelly in Boston, listens to all my programmes constantly.
Fantastic.
He's a Tralee man. He's over there since the 50s, and he has me persuaded to go over in the new year, please God. A Ronan Hussey from Tralee, Carla's uncle, now deceased, always enjoyed Alice's books, as Carla does herself. They have brought back wonderful memories of times gone by. Another caller, I love all her books, Keir Roach in Kilmiley, and 0667123666 083 300 3300 if you'd like to get in and win a book signed especially for you. Alice, we're coming back to the book. We don't know how to see it. We have so much to talk about that we can't get to the book. That's my problem with you. Alice Taylor, The Journey, New and Selected Poems, Brandon Publishers.
They did it beautiful. Yeah,
come here.
They did a lovely
job. Jacket of the book and the cover, it's hardcover.
I tell you about it.
It's beautiful.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Listen, I loved that autumnal kind of a cover.
Yeah. It's and the picture at the front. I was in.
Yeah. Tell us about that. Isn't
I tell
it
you now, I was up to a reading in Queens about 15 years ago, and the Ulster Museum is just across the road, and I went in there, and hanging up on the wall was this beautiful painting, a huge painting of this woman, an old lady, and the. I see her granddaughter.
She's like she's, my own granddaughter's that age now.
Is that right?
We're reminding her today, Lucy. Yes. And she's nearly this very, she like could it have a Lucy.
Isn't that amazing now? And I love the way...
Her grandmother's not older.
Well, yeah, oh, she wouldn't mind. Her grandmother. She wouldn't mind to think that.
Go on, yeah.
But anyway, the picture, when I saw it, I thought, what a lovely picture. It's, you know, it's delicate and it's the old lady and the young.
Explain to our listeners what's in the picture, Alice.
It's an old lady sitting in a chair with a beautiful a face that have seen years of living.
Yes, yeah.
And then there's a little girl with a face that hasn't seen any living.
Look at her hands. Look at the old lady's hands.
Yeah, there's a lifetime of work gone into those, isn't there? The hands tell a lot. And still there's a kind of a delicate connection between the two of them, isn't there?
Is she showing the little girl? Is she knitting?
How to knit, I'd say.
She's showing
her how to knit. And they're out in a garden and the sun is coming down through the trees. And
the shadow.
It's lovely. And the shadows are beautiful, aren't they?
Yeah.
And I saw the painting and I bought a print. And I brought it home with me, got it framed, and it was hanging on the wall. And I always thought that would make a beautiful cover for a book. So when we decided to publish The Journey, I thought...
That's it.
That's it.
Alice, is that an actual painting now?
It is. Oh, it's an actual painting.
That was a real lady.
Oh, yeah. It's hanging in the Ulster Museum. And it's a lovely... It's by a French artist. And it's so... It captures, I think, in a way, like the journey through life, the old and the young.
Correct.
It's a perfect cover.
Correct.
And it reproduced beautifully. And as you say, Brendan did a lovely job.
Brendan did a beautiful,
it's a lovely job.
A beautiful job altogether.
Because I think a book of poems, they need to be in handbag.
Yeah.
You know, do you know the way...
It gives you that feeling,
it
doesn't
does,
it?
Yeah, a book is a bit like a horse, it has to
hand you with. Yes, yeah. You actually, know? It gives you... Actually, as you can see, I did leave it out of my hands since I came in for some reason or another.
Yeah,
but if that was a softback bun...
You wouldn't, you see. Isn't it a funny thing, yeah?
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
no, I've been holding that there since I came in.
Yeah. That it feels well. And as well as that, you know, when you open up a book, you know, you're not, you know, do you remember long ago when you go to your school books and you smell
it, that's right, yeah.
The smell of the
new paper.
New paper.
The strong new paper.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Alice, when we come back, you're going to be reading some of your poetry for us.
Yeah.
0667123666, or you can text us now on 083-300-3300. You Raise Me Up, that's your first song?
That's right. I love Ronan Tynan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's the most amazing voice. And years ago, before he became a big name, would you believe, there's a big old church in Mapleclisical, I can't get my tongue around it, church in Yall. It's so big, they have two pulpits, we should. But anyway, there was... Ronan Tynan and myself.
Would you settle for Brian Kennedy singing it?
Oh, I would. Yeah. I would. I like Brian Kennedy as well.
Yeah.
But Ronan Tynan and myself, he did the singing and I was doing a poetry reading. And that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But I just thought he's a magical voice. And since then, I've always loved him. He's gone over, he's more in America now than he is in Ireland, really, isn't he?
He is. Well, yeah. David is on sound tonight and he's after bringing up Brian Kennedy.
Brian Kennedy is grand.
So listen,
yeah,
we will want to
voice.
Anyway, we'll listen to this.
And I am down. And oh, my soul so weary. When troubles come and my heart burdened be, then I am still and wait here in the silence until you come and sit a while.
Fogarty on Radio Kerry. In conversation with Rishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed. You're very welcome back to the programme. Alice Taylor is my special guest in studio. We're talking about her new and selected poems, The Journey, an absolutely beautiful book and some lovely stuff. We'll be reading some of it now. Noreen Flaherty's Tralee was on. It's lovely to hear Alice. I have all her books and we'll be getting this one as soon as possible. And she put on ASAP. Bernadette O'Sullivan, Abby Dorney, Alice's book brings back wonderful memories. If I'm lucky enough to win the book tonight, I will give it to my mother, who is Alice's number one fan. Well, Bernadette, you can always go out and buy it if you don't win it. Mary O'Mahony, Abby Dorney, best wishes to Alice, enjoying the programme. Patricia Lawler, at Fert, best wishes to Alice, enjoying the show. I love Alice's book. Well done, Rishi. Really enjoyed all of Alice's books, and hearing on the radio this evening is a real delight. Best wishes from Geraldine and Tralee. Dan Keane, my van, congratulations to Alice on her new book. She's the only porter I ever knew that gave us tailor-made books. Dan Keane, the great...
I know Dan.
You know Dan. Wonderful person.
He's a grand great man.
Did a programme with him too, yeah. Dan, yeah. Nice to hear from you, my friend. Dan Keane, my van. Alice brings back... brings to life the life of the old people talked about. Amazing gift. Congratulations on your new book, Patrick O'Donoghue in Ireland. Thank you, Patrick. The song was sung by Brian Kennedy at Char's best funeral, and correct it was. When did Alice first realise that she had this wonderful gift, Andy? When did you realise you had a wonderful gift of writing, Alice?
I don't know. Well, I suppose it was the reader's the side of that.
Yeah.
You could be writing.
Were you writing since you were...
Oh, I was. I suppose doing bits of scribbling. I suppose poetry really was what I started off at way back.
Love all Alice's books. I have met her lovely lady, Eileen in Beaufort. Best wishes to Alice with her new book. I think she's brilliant. From Anna, congratulations. This is Ellen Gottfried in Kinmare. Congratulations, Alice is a wonderful woman. I gave a lady I knew one of Alice's books and she went and bought three of them to bring back to her family members across the water. Road between Lisselton and Ballybunnan, a lot of water. Be careful, please, warn drivers. Lisselton and Ballybunnan, if you're out there, be careful, folks. Alice, getting back to the book, The Journey, new and selected poems. Beautiful book. Your husband, Lartimus and Gable, died in 05, November 05.
That's right, yeah.
I got the impression by reading a lot of the poems that they were written specially in his memory.
They were.
For him.
Yeah.
And actually came from you for him. Would that be right?
At that time, you said the book is divided into four sections: the home place, the wising years, grief and grace, and then winter ploughing. And the grief and grace ones, they were written after he dying. You know,
do you find it hard writing?
I found, Rishi, that it helped. That's why, in a way, like poetry comes out of the emotions. They were written at times when I was in a bad state.
I could sense that,
So when I wrote those poems, I put there, I suppose it was the grief, led to the poems, and they sprung out of grief. And I found actually that people, because some of those poems were in the parish and people identified with them who were going through a bad patch, and really it helped them. Now, Rishi, there's one of those poems actually.
Do you know what you'll do now? Read something for our listeners there, Alice.
I will. I just want to get the one there now. Now that we're on the grief, we'll just do that first. This is about the backyard. This is the name of the poem, The Backyard. Yesterday I washed the backyard with a mind full of throbbing pain. Scalding tears joined piped water through hoses that you had connected. It is in the ordinary everyday that I miss you most. When all was clean and rearranged, I asked myself, why did I bother? But you were never one to sit and moan. You would have kept going, and so must I. Because savage grief must be worked through and grappled with hour by hour, so that one day your memory becomes a glorious tub of flowers.
You wrote in the book in the parish about your back garden, didn't you?
That's right, I did. I love gardening. And I actually found, Rishi, that gardening was the greatest healer I had. If you go out and dig the earth does it. Yeah. And
A lot of them have come from your memories with your husband.
Of life. Yeah, and life of childhood. Now, there's actually one of the ones in the first section, The Home Place, was written as a result of going to Benny Bunyan as a child.
Yeah.
And my mother used to take us all up to the church every night to say the rosary. Now, when you're 7 or 8 and you want to get down to the Marys and the bumpers, you're not very interested in the rosary. But anyway, mother knelt down and we said it. And after that, she had the trimmings and went on. So then I'd get bored and I'd go out and I'd sit on the wall outside the church.
Yeah.
And this poem was written years afterwards as a result of that memory. And the poem is called A Memory. The waste ground was choked with weeds that grew above her head. But in the middle of this waste, one flower of golden red. The little child came every day to gaze upon the scene. The flower, it was the loveliest sight that she had ever seen. This flower took root and blossomed. It grew inside her head and led her on to lovely things long after it was dead.
Beautiful.
Because there was that time in front of the church in Ballybunion, there was a big field, now it's all houses, and it was full of briars. There was one beautiful red poppy, and I never forgot that red poppy. And you know what it taught me, Rishi, that exposing children to beautiful things, take them to art galleries, take them to see beautiful things, is never wasted.
Yeah.
They might not seem to take it in, but it's gone in there somewhere, and it spawns inside.
Yeah.
So beauty's you know, it's absorbed by children.
Come here, tell us about the poem about Uncle Denny.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that. I think we spoke about him the last time you were here.
Did we?
I think we did.
I didn't know he was my mother's brother.
It's on page 138.
Oh, very good. Oh, God, you're spot on, wish you. He lived back the road from us.
Yeah.
And he was a man now that he used to go to the fairs. And he'd forget to come home. Can you understand that?
Yeah.
And he went to the bog and he lived with my grandmother. And he was a countryman that never had a pain or an ache. And then in his later years, he got cancer. And I remember going to see him in hospital. And I thought, what a terrible, terrible thing to happen. Will I read the poem?
He was probably never in a hospital in his
never
life.
Never in a hospital in his life.
Yeah, that's what I want. I'd love you for the listeners to read the poem.
Now, Uncle Denny. He was a man who took life by the throat and demanded what was his. Moderation was not his theme. Rather, excess in all things, even in the greatness of his heart. You could forgive him many faults because of so great a heart. He loved life with the spontaneity of a rushing river that could not be blocked. And yet, it was stopped short in full flood. My heart ached to see him, tubed by nose and hand, strapped like a wild creature in his hospital bed. A frightened animal, unaccustomed to restraint, brought into shelter from winter cold, eyes dilated in terror. A man of hilly places, trapped in antiseptic crucifixion. Slow death dragged on for months. This mighty man withered. The torrent declined to a trickle and then was no more.
Alice, I have no doubt many of our listeners will associate with that because all of us have been hit with cancer and we've seen our loved ones go down and down and down. And and even today, we all have people fighting cancer.
That's right.
Now,
that's right.
We should be having another bit of music, but we're not because we haven't time. So we're going. Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take the liberty of reading one of your poems.
Oh, do.
Before we go for a break.
Yeah.
I couldn't resist it, and I want you to explain it after then.
Yes.
It's the O'Connor twins.
Yes, oh yes.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
We watch spellbound as they perform feats of skill beyond our suppressed expectations. They reach, catch and shoot. Then outrun the slitter, arching into the air, swallows in an upward curve. Accurate and deadly as swooping hawks in full flight. They grasp their prey and jet it home between the posts. The old man said, a safe pair of hands those twins have, berted together and still bound by invisible strings. They now play silent, schlieve rukla music across the turf of Croke Park. Explain to us.
I did it.
But two, and they're still starring.
Aren't they fantastic? I sat watching them one day, and there was, you know the way, one fella's at one end of the field, and the other fella's the other end, but there's some telepathy between them, whether it's the fact that they're twins, and they connect.
In case there's somebody out there that don't know what we're talking about, tell us who they are. Hello, listeners, the O'Connor twins. Yeah.
We assume, of course they play with Cork.
Yes, yes.
And they're our stars, like the twins. They're known in Cork as the twins.
That's right.
Twin O'Connors.
Yeah.
And, they really are the stars of the Cork team. Well, we think they're the stars.
And they're clubber flying. They're clubber flying, of course.
Newton Shendrum, of course.
Newton Shendrum had a brilliant win, and the O'Connor twins star.
The O'Connor twins, just to watch them, they saved the day, like. But they're just to watch them. They're like ballet dancers. Yeah. And there isn't a rough bone in their body. Mm. I mean, they won't foul a player. But their skill, they're so skillful, they outmaneuver. Yeah. And it's just...
Is bred into them.
I wrote that straight after having watched them in a match, because you know that they're it's like watching ballet.
Do you know, we better go for a break. 0667123666 0833003300. If you want to get into that, Alice, you might win this absolutely beautiful book, and we'll get her to sign it specifically for whoever wins it. How's that sound? We'll go for a short break. Tanya's taking your calls too, by the way. Stay with us. We'll be back shortly.
Conversation with Wishy Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
You're very welcome back to the programme. Alice Taylor's my guest in studio. We're talking about her beautiful new book. Go out and buy it, because if you have no interest in poetry or poems, I will guarantee you this evening that you will sit down and you'll open this and you'll thumb through it, and you will associate with many, many of the poems. You can bring it into your own life. Alice Taylor, The Journey, new and selected poems. Looking forward to reading your latest edition, Josie Murray. Mary Coogan Listole was on. I love Alice's writing. I'm a school teacher and my pupils are studying her book in our first year class. And Mary Coogan sat in that chair 3 weeks ago. She's after bringing out a lovely book on photographs of Listole.
Oh, lovely.
And she came in to me. Mary, it was lovely having you. And she sat down there. Josephine O'Donnell Braster, hope the book was going well for you, lady. I can smell the old times when I listen to Alice Taylor. Mary Jo Hearn, like Compaun, enjoying the programme. I would have missed it only for my brother reminding me. It was a double pleasure this evening to hear Alice and Brian Kennedy. Catherine Cullity, Scarta Glen, best wishes to Alice. 0667123666 0833003300. Now, Alice, what have you chosen for us out of your book of poems, The Journey?
This was written in the Holy Land, but it has a touch of Kerry about it.
Right.
And it's called Why Here, Lord? Why did you come to this arid land, heat bleached and sun soaked, where camels grind their teeth and volcanic tempers can sizzle into an eruption of violence? Did you never consider coming as a Kerry man? Kerry is moist and green, and they have many donkeys. Mary could have ridden one and made the flight into Cork from your kingdom in Kerry. Perhaps they expected you in Kerry when they christened it the kingdom. You know, it wouldn't have surprised you a bit, you know, if you came to Kerry, would it?
Lovely, wasn't it? And you wrote that where?
I was in the Holy Land and I looked around.
What was the association?
Well, I thought it's, you know, the Israeli soldiers were there with Adam to the teeth, and then you went outside Jerusalem and it was burnt, and I thought, what a desolate place. Went to look at the Gaza Strip and I thought, is this where all the trouble? I thought, Lord, why did you choose to come here? And I thought of Kerry and the beautiful green, you know, what a beautiful place Kerry is. And I thought, wouldn't Kerry have been a far better place to have come to?
That is a good question. Why didn't he come here?
I know, Sharish. I mean, you shouldn't have surprised you.
Maybe he wasn't a follower of football.
Maybe he wasn't, you see. Maybe he was a hurler.
Why should a person, Alice, what would you say to listeners now? What can poetry do for a person? We say, for instance, now a person that never bought a book of poetry or poems. What does poetry do for a person?
I think, you know, poetry can open doors into sections within yourself that you didn't aware were there at all, into inner rooms inside yourself. Because if you read a poem And it's written by somebody who has a shared experience with you. And the poet could be dead for hundreds of years. You know, sometimes when you see something and you can't describe it, you're lost for words. And the lines of a poem that you might have learned in school float into your mind, and you realise the poet has stood where you have stood. And you're connected. I think there's a connectedness in poetry between the poet and the reader. You know, so I think, you know, poetry can be very uplifting.
It's a way of expressing your inner self.
It is.
In many ways, it is. Those feelings are there. What's your, out of a very unfair question?
Yes.
What am I going to ask you?
To read my favourite poem. Well, you know something?
You're reading my mind.
This is kind of funny because I think, you know, poetry as well should be, I mean, it should make you smile as well. And this poem is called Rejuvenation. And the strange thing, it's about having a bath. Now, if you want to get yourself clean, you have a shower. But if you want to restore your soul,
yeah,
you have a bath. Yeah. You go into the bathroom. You don't turn on the overhead light because you might as well be on an operating theatre. Don't turn on the lights. Light candles are around the edge of the bath, and get the most expensive bath oil that you've been given a present of. Put it in. Put a do not disturb in the door, and wish it, this is what will happen. Rejuvenation. Swirls of steam shroud the tired body of an old, old woman. I crawl feebly over the bath edge and submerge into the sudsy warmth. My children are parasites, my husband unloving, my friends demanding. I want to die. My body dissolves, my mind evaporates. I become nothing, drifting into oblivion. A few hot water top-ups and an hour later, I come back together. My children are independent, my husband adoring, my friends supportive. It's good to be alive. And I high-step out of the bath, vibrant and beautiful, and the old lady with all her problems, disappears down the plug hole.
Lovely.
That's what a bath can do. Make a new man out of it, Risha.
So, but you're including men too, not all ladies.
Oh, God, yeah.
You can include all men in it too, like
all
myself.
All kinds, you can get into it.
Come here, I want to read one poem myself, if you don't mind.
Right.
I want you to tell me about it.
Yeah.
It's called Roots, and I tell you why. Yes. It's about a tree.
Yes, yes.
And I tell you why. I walk in the National Park in Killarney, yes, most days with my wife. We'd be out, yes, on the road most, yes, days, half estate.
Yes.
Despite hail, rain and snow. Yeah. And 2-3 mornings ago, we passed a tree that had stood there for, I don't know, maybe 120, 130 years.
Yeah.
And the tree had fallen, it got rotten at the roots, and it was right across the road, just inside the gate below, yes, the National Park.
Yes.
And you have this poem that you wrote about roots, it reminds me of it, and I was walking today, I was thinking of you.
Yeah.
I have grown here for many years, warm and safe in my own place. A lifelong of being here makes me feel secure. My roots grow deep into the warm earth. Now I am old, my branches are tattered. But still I would stay here because this is where I belong. Do not dig me up. The damages to my branches will ease me slowly from this place, but pull up my roots and my whole being will break.
Yes.
Beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, that was written now. Yes. There was an old lady, she lived outside our village in a small cottage. Now, it wasn't the lap of luxury, but it was her place.
Yeah.
And the suggestion would come, oh God, she should go into an old people's home, she'd be warm, she'd be dry, and she'd be comfortable. But we should have killed her.
Told you.
You know, so we're very like the trees, really. Yeah. If we could be left in our own place, and gradually the branches would fall off, and we'd keel over in time and go. But I think if we're dragged out of it, it is a terrible intrusion.
I remember my grandfather Latimer Sim, yes, he was from Tipperary.
Yeah.
And my father, when we lived in Killarney, my grandfather used to visit us so often, and he'd stay maybe 2 or 3 months when he had given up the farming. But yeah. I remember he always said when he'd be heading home, the hare dies where he lived.
Yes.
He died at home, didn't,
yeah,
he? He was always afraid he'd die in Killarney.
I know.
So he died. Alice, we're going for a short break.
best.
0667123666 083 300 3300 if you'd like to get in for one of Alice Taylor's books. Alice Taylor, The Journey, new and selected poems. Alice will be reading more when we come back. Get in as soon as you can. David is on sound and Tanya's taking your call. We'll be back shortly.
In conversation with Weishi Fogarty on Radio Kerry.
Yes, indeed, you're very welcome back to the programme. I'm talking to Alice Taylor about her beautiful new book, Alice Taylor, The Journey, new and selected poems, and I can tell you Brendan Publishers made an absolutely beautiful job of it. Noreen Flaherty from Tralee said, Alice said they would go to the church when in Ballybunin, and to this day I still go there. I pray to the statue just inside the door, and my prayers are always answered.
Right.
Maybe you might win the book tonight, Mary, Noreen. Alice will be drawing it. So between the two of you going to the church, there's a little association of ideas there. Yeah. Mary Sweeney Killarden, best wishes to Alice. I love listening to her and reading her books, especially to school through the fields, as I walk through the fields to school myself many times. Ella Loveton, for my best wishes to Alice. Mary Goggin, Ballinskelligs. Alice is a wonderful lady. I love her books. And looking forward to reading your latest edition, Josie Murphy. I love Alice's writing. I'm a school teacher. My pupils are studying. Oh, that's Mary Cogan. We had that. Mary O'Connor, Castle Island. Alice is a wonderful lady and I enjoy reading her books. All the best for the future. Peggy Quirklestall, best wishes to Alice. Wonderful programme, which she has always. I always enjoy listening to her. Anyway, so they prefer listening to you and me anyway. Now, Alice, what are you to
now,
read for us?
We'll read the poem about cow dung.
Right. Oh, you have a fascination with cow dung.
Well, I do.
Since you came in tonight, you're talking about cow dung.
I'll tell you, I love the smell of cows. I love cows.
You do, of course.
Listen to
because it's natural.
Caring and placid about cows.
Especially if it's lovely summer's evening.
Yeah, yeah. At the moment, I'm actually painting. I do a bit of painting, and I'm painting cows in the field.
Is that right? Yeah.
And they're lovely. Anyway, this is about cows.
Will you be having a painting exhibition, seriously?
Well, I wouldn't consider myself in that.
Well, you should. For the likes of us that would appreciate.
Well, I love doing it anyway. Yeah, yeah. Now, cow dung. As a child, my feet felt the three stages of cow dung. First, warm green slop oozed up between pressing toes. Poulticed, sinking heels. Later, sap fermented beneath a black crust resisted a probing toe. Then, hard grey patch, dehydrated and rough, beneath tender soles, its moisture absorbed into growing fields. Noble cow dung, you fed the earth which gave us our daily bread.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it's, you know, sometimes people, you know, wrinkle up their nose about the idea of children jumping into cow dung. But, you know, that's where reflexology started.
Yeah.
You know, we do it with oils, but as children we did it which
we have never heard of anyone getting any disease or sickness from
cow dung.
No, seriously.
No.
Well, come on, another one for us, Alice.
No, you like this one, the men with sides.
The men with sides. I thought this was good.
Yeah, they used to come to clear the graveyard. When the graveyard became overgrown and headstones were buried in grass, then they came, the men with sides, weather-beaten farming men who worked steadily at their own pace, edged and cut with the calm determination of those who endlessly worked the fields. The crack of blade and stone brought forth blessings on the dead. Uncovering the resting place of an old friend stirred forgotten memories. As the moon rose behind the steeple, order was restored, and headstones stood, proud and free, the living giving dignity to the dead.
I like that. Uncovering the resting place of an old friend. I was talking to an old man lately in Killarney. We met him inside in a pub. We were having a pint. And do you know what he said to me? And I thought was sad. Do you know what she said? I was up in the door visiting my wife's grave lately, and I know more people up there than I know down here.
Yes. Yes. There's something very nice about old graveyards.
There is, yeah. Actually, last Saturday I visited the graveyard of the first man ever to Captain Kerry's an All Ireland title in 1903. His name is Teddy Gorman. And he's buried just up in the Rath Cemetery here, and I'm involved in a project on Kerry captains, and he's the first, and we visit his grave.
Do you know that there was a Mary O'Gorman taught me, and she had a brother playing for Kerry?
Well, that's the same. That's the same Mary Garman. There's a family, yeah?
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing? That, come here to see it.
We're deviating.
But you know, Alice, what I firmly believe, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe myself that people that have died and might be dead for a long, long time, they like to be remembered.
Well,
is that true?
I suppose I would agree with you there.
See, see how I brought up that name and you brought up the other name. That lady's dead now.
Yeah, she is.
But we're remembering her tonight.
That's right.
The link, yeah.
This is the one about, we were talking there about roots, you know, Aoife.
Yes.
And this is about Jim. It's a very simple poem, but Jim was a very simple
lovely,
man.
Yeah.
Just across the road, Jim lived in a shed. It wasn't very big, just enough to hold his bed. He was never lonely, he chatted on the street. A kindly neighbour fed him, so he had enough to eat. But it didn't seem right, him sleeping in the cold. Something should be done, as Jim was getting old. So he went into a home where everything was right, and everyone felt good, now Jim was in by night. But when I went to see him, his face the story told. His body was dry and warm, but his eyes were lost and cold. Jim had lived here too long to dig up his ancient roots. His body now had comfort, but his heart was in his boots. Jim died in September, died in a spotless bed, but he had died 6 months before, the day he left the shed.
Yeah, when he was moved out of his own
place.
Yeah, he was.
You know, it isn't a good thing to do.
While we're just, give me a number between 1 and 25, Alice.
7.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do you know who won it? Look.
Yeah.
What's that name?
Dan Keane. Isn't that guess?
Dan Keane, my friend, you have won Alice's book. Isn't that something?
Isn't it? Because Dan Keane and I went on a bus tour when I was there.
We did all that above board?
Oh God, we did, of course, I counted out the numbers. That's right, oh God. God, we should know one would suspect us of anything like that.
Dan Keane, my friend in my van, you have won the book. And I've no doubt Alice is going to have something lovely to write in that book for you.
Yeah, I've great memories.
Well done,
Dan.
Now, you're going to read another one first. We've just a couple of minutes to go, Alice.
Friend, you know something, I think the greatest virtue is kindness. You know, if you're feeling bad, you meet somebody who's kind. A kind person can do no end of good. So this poem is called Kindness.
Kind word, they say.
A kind word. The warmth of your kindness kept me in my mind. Its worth could not be measured. It had goodness undefined. You held out a caring hand when I was full of pain. You thawed my frozen being and made me live again.
Yeah. Kind word, yet it can turn the world.
It can. You know, it can lift people up.
I'm fascinated, I must ask you, what's that brooch you have hanging around your neck?
Well, I'll tell you now.
A lovely chain, it's gold.
Yeah, it is. My husband's Uncle Jackie, he was chairman of the West Cork GA Board for the year 1926, 25 and 27, and he was presented with that medal.
Alice, it's absolutely
Isn't
beautiful.
It
caught my eye, gold. Alice Taylor, The Journey, new and selected poems by Brandon Books. It's absolutely beautiful. David was on sound. Tanya was taking your calls. Alice Taylor, it was lovely having you.
Thank you for coming down for a minute, Shannon. And thank
you. Your son drove you down.
Yes.
And listen to me. Wonderful stuff. And
thank
it was great
you.
To have you. It's my privilege.
Lovely
well done.
Here. Thanks
I'll be back Monday night on Terrace Talk. Full programme again, 6 to 8. Don't miss it.